The first reading that we have from the prophet Isaiah is one of my favorite texts to have at a funeral. It speaks of this magnificent banquet that the Lord has prepared, this table for his people, with rich food and fine wine. Yeah, it sounds pretty good. And one of the final images that's used there is that the Lord will wipe away the tears from every eye. It's a very consoling, very magnificent text. And when John begins to write the book of Revelation, the final book in the New Testament, he uses this image quite readily and uses it again and repeats those words about the Lord wiping away every tear from our eyes. The first part of our parable tonight really feeds in very well to that sense of the Lord wanting to gather, the Lord calling, the Lord preparing, the Lord inviting into the celebration of this banquet of life with him. But then we have, at the end, in verses 11 to 13, this twist that can be very disturbing to us. Because we're told that the Lord invited people from the highways and byways. When the first people, and clearly this parable is addressed to the chief priests and the elders of the people, like the last two parables that we've had over the last two Sundays. There are these three parables that run straight after each other in chapter 21 and 22 of Matthew's Gospel. All of them written during these last days of Jesus' public ministry. At the beginning of chapter 21 in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus makes his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And so all of these parables are told during this last week of his life, during what we call Holy Week. In fact, they probably would have all been on the Monday of Holy Week. And so the chief priests and the elders have called Jesus to task, saying, "By what authority are you doing this?" Because he's just cleansed the temple. And so he tells these three parables about the way that the authority of the king, the authority that he has as the true Messiah. You remember 2 weeks ago the parable of the two sons, the one who said he wouldn't do what the master wanted and then ended up doing it, the one who said he would do it but didn't do it, the story of the Pharisees who said they would be faithful but weren't, and the ones about the tax collectors and the sinners who said by their lives that they wouldn't be faithful, but in fact they were. Last week we had the parable of the vineyard owner and the power of that story also. So here we have this, again, a very similar story. It has the same kind of edge to it about the Lord inviting. The Lord is constantly inviting. The Lord, right throughout history, sends his servants, the prophets, the great saints, the great theologians, the great bishops, and the occasional great priest, to bring his people into the very life of God. The Lord is inviting us constantly through the witness of each other's lives, through the witness of saints who live among us, through the witness of great writers, through the witness of people who bear that very life of God in their very soul, who are able to share that, who are able to invite us into that experience of God's life. But like the people in the parable, how many friends do we know? How many members of our own families do we know who seem to have forgotten that invitation, who have rejected that invitation, who aren't part of this assembly here with us tonight? The 90% of Catholics in Australia who don't come to Mass are probably part of those people who have better things to do than to come and be part of this great celebration that the King of heaven and earth invites us to be part of. And then at the end, where we have what we expect in this kind of parable. That the Lord then extends the invitation, not just the chosen people, but he extends it to good and bad alike, to tax collectors and people who are honest, to people of every shape, size, color, creed. But then in verses 11 to 13, we're given this uncomfortable twist. We're told that there were some, one particular, of all the many who were brought in by the servants, who had been gathered from the marketplaces and from the crossroads. And this one man doesn't have his wedding garment on. And the king at this point does something that we don't expect, both in the context of the parable and in the context of our liturgy, in the face of that beautiful and prophetic image of the banquet in the prophet Isaiah. That he says, if you have not come equipped with this, the wedding banquet, with this, the clothing of righteousness, the clothing of love, the clothing of justice, the clothing of truth, the clothing of grace, the clothing of mercy. Yes, everyone's invited. Everyone is welcome to come. But those who do come, those who do make their way into the banquet hall of the king, are expected to live a life worthy of that call. We can say very easily that the Lord will invite all, that the Lord will call all people to be part of his kingdom. But when we respond, when we say yes to that call, there is the edge. There is the call that he wants us to change. He wants us to be different. He wants us to have these signs of life and vitality because of what God has done in us. And this is the twist. This is the twist of all three of these parables that we've had these last 3 weeks. That God calls us to change our lives. God calls us to sanctification, not just conversion. God calls us to live lives that are worthy of his love, to live lives that make us able to bear witness joyfully to the presence of God among us. And that's the privilege that we have as God's people, the privilege that we have to share the very life of God with others. And so that's this opportunity that I invite all of us to really live and to share in this Eucharist tonight.